The following show is a replay of KTQA Daily Briefing. For more information, please call 253-330-8821 or visit us online at daily.ktqa.org. Afternoon. This is KTQA Daily Briefing with me. My name is Sam. Joining me is Becky. How are you?
I'm still well, Sam. How are you?
Fantastic. You were listening to yesterday's episode and you were like, oh, I sound like a robot when you asked me how I was doing. And so this is your way to...
I'm alive. I'm an actual thinking human and I'm still well. I am finishing up week two of work from home, stay at home, et cetera.
Yeah, I was talking about it. I mean, it's kind of nice for me. I've got someone around the house to talk to during the workday. So there is that. I'll give you that. But so it is the daily briefing. So let's get to the briefing. Why don't you go ahead and get started, Becky?
Sure. State-level updates on COVID-19 can always be found at coronavirus.wa.gov and now in Spanish at medium.com/bienestarwa. Health department officials are also staffing a coronavirus Q&A line at 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week at 1-800-525-0127. Remember that dialing 311 from your phone in Tacoma will get you the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line, and dialing 211 from your phone in Tacoma helps connect you to community resources statewide through United Way. You can also visit wa211.org online.
The Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, advises those seeking to help, donate, or volunteer in the coronavirus response that cash donations to the nonprofit of your choice is currently the best donation. You can call 703-778-5088 to reach the National Voluntary Organizations Active in Disaster to ask for vetted nonprofit organizations supporting COVID-19 response efforts. Or you can visit nvoad.org to see the list online. FEMA says not to collect or make donations until you are sure it is needed. Who will accept it and how it will get there is worked out. FEMA states that adequate supplies of blood are needed to treat patients in hospitals, especially with the cancellation of many blood drives. BloodWorks Northwest states that blood donors are exempt from stay-at-home orders in Washington and Oregon. The organization is encouraging blood donations, which must take place through scheduled appointments to ensure social distancing protocols. Donors are encouraged to make future appointments for April and May to ensure availability of critical blood supply. You can call the contact center at 800-398-7888, and appointments may also be scheduled online at schedule.bloodworksnw.org or by emailing schedule@bloodworksnw.org.
Some updates from Washington State throughout the state. All grocery stores, pharmacies, gas stations, and other things necessary for continued operations remain open right now with 6-foot distance social distancing measures enforced. Many workforce sectors are still in operation, including energy, food and agriculture, emergency services, healthcare, transportation and logistics, water and wastewater, IT and communications, and government. The full list of essential businesses and workforce sectors is available in detail at coronavirus.wa.gov. You can click on the What's Open and Closed tab. The State Emergency Management Division does assure us that there has been no disruption to the supply chain that delivers goods. And if we all purchase what we need without hoarding, there will be enough for everyone. Some other clarifications from them are as follows. Essential workers are permitted to travel to and from work without any kind of special permit or papers. The Washington State Department of Agriculture notes that there is no reason to believe that we can get COVID-19 from our pets, either by them licking us or by us petting their fur. That's good news for those of us whose pets are keeping us company during this time of isolation. There is no vaccine or specific treatment for COVID-19. There is nothing you can take, inhale, or rub on yourself that will protect you from this virus or cure it. And that's straight from Washington State Emergency Management Division. And finally, Governor Jay Inslee made the National Guard available to be used. And on March 22nd, President Trump agreed to put Guard soldiers and airmen on Title 32 status, enabling them to be paid by the federal government. And as of March 27th, the Washington State National Guard still didn't have any missions and were assigned and were not assigned for COVID-19 response. But the Guard welcomes any questions from callers at 253-512-8989.
The city of Tacoma, and now moving on to Tacoma, is offering small loans of up to $15,000 that require no repayment for a year to small businesses with 10 employees or fewer who have been operating in Tacoma for at least a year and who can document a significant loss in revenue due to COVID-19. Funds may be used for working capital. Lack of equity and collateral will not disqualify eligibility. Applicants must complete the COVID-19 pre-application form online. Go to cityoftacoma.org, click on the COVID-19 Stabilization Loan Fund, and follow links and instructions. Remember that you can always call 311 to reach the city information line, and you can email COVID-19loan@cityoftacoma.org with questions. The Proctor Farmers Markets for Saturday, March 28th and Saturday, April 4th have been canceled. And that's what we have for updates today. If you would like some more information from or to follow up on any of these things, you can dial 311 again. That's the Tacoma Non-Emergency Information Line. If you dial 211, you will you'll be connected to community resources statewide through the United Way. You can email us directly. That's me and Becky at daily@ktqa.org. And our phone number is 253-330-8821. Again, 253-330-8821. You can call us or you can text us. So that's it for the updates for today. We will be continuing, Becky and I have had a conversation, and we will be continuing the updates through the weekend as well, but they will just be the briefing. We will be holding interviews for Saturday and Sunday, or we'll just be doing interviews throughout the week and not on Saturday and Sunday. It'll just be any significant updates or information that you might need.
I'm really excited for the interviews that we've done and concluding week one at this point of our KTQA daily briefing. And if you've got some ideas about people that we should hear from in our community, then definitely give us a call and leave a voicemail or definitely email us.
Yeah, we've heard from some people already, and you'll probably be hearing from them as the week goes on. And now that's it for the briefing. And now Becky has an interview with Antonia Hernandez that should be very interesting.
I'm excited to welcome Antonia Hernandez. She is a Tacoma-based artist, doula, and parent to 4 children, all under the age of 8. Welcome, Antonia.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell us, many folks may have heard the term doula, but it kind of sounds a little bit foreign and unknown. Can you take us through, just super briefly, what is a doula?
Sure. We are non-medical continuous labor support. So everything from holding space emotionally for what you're going through, informational support as birth workers, and physical support, varying by who you are and what you need, but everything from hip squeezes to various positioning techniques. We're complementary to the medical role of the nurse or your care provider in that we're there with you through the whole thing.
So it sounds a little bit like a midwife. Some of us may have watched the popular BBC series called The Midwife, and that kind of sounds, you know, what you described a lot like that. But midwives are medical, and you said you're non-medical. How is a doula different from a midwife?
Yeah, so a midwife's role as your medical care provider is to monitor and be responsible for the health of you and your baby, right? They're there towards the end, you know, once you get to the hospital or after you've been actively laboring at home to assist in catching the baby, right? Making sure that all of that goes the way it's supposed to go. As a doula, totally non-medical, I'm there with you for your experience on the journey. So I don't catch babies. I don't take any exams. I don't do any tests, right? And I'm not interpreting your medical information for you. We are just, you know, that person that you and your partner can look to when you're looking at each other like, is this normal? Like, we're the reassuring hand.
Neat. So how long before a birth will a parent typically meet up with their doula? Is this something that you kind of establish in, you know, like, week three of pregnancy, let's find a doula right now? Or you arrive at the hospital and you say, okay, here's your nurse, here's the labor and delivery doctor, and here's your doula.
It's really both. I'm a volunteer doula at St. Joseph's Hospital. So some of the people that I work with in that capacity, we don't meet until that day, but I'm the person who is there, like I said, in the room the entire time, providing that constant support. Really, the presence of having somebody there is a huge factor in both emotional and medical outcomes to labor. So there, if it's a volunteer situation, that's what that looks like. Or we have private clients as well, and it really kind of just depends on who you are. If you're checking things off your list as soon as that test turns positive, or I've had people contact me when they're due that week and just thought, you know what, maybe I do want a doula. So we're very flexible in that way, meeting your needs where you're at.
Now, you said that you are a volunteer doula at St. Joseph's Medical Center. I've heard that a lot of hospitals are restricting the types of people and the numbers of people that can come into the hospitals at this point. What's that look like for you?
Absolutely. So St. Joe's has suspended all of their volunteer programs, but at this, and it should be noted that all of this is changing daily. So even as you and I are speaking, it could change by the time this airs for the second time. But so far, St. Joseph's has restricted birthing support to one family member and one verified professional doula. So whether that be somebody who's certified, or there are tons of doulas who never get certified, but they've been practicing for years. So they just require verification that they're a hired, trained doula.
And have you participated in assisting any laboring parents during this time since those restrictions went into effect?
Not since the restrictions came into effect. I have a couple of clients on board, so we're talking a lot about what that's going to look like. And there has been a big influx to home birth midwives and for doula support from people who were originally planning hospital births and are now kind of rethinking that. If you are a low-risk candidate who isn't planning on having a surgical or medical pain release during your delivery, then home births at this time is looking like a better option for a lot of people. They're rethinking what they originally had planned.
So that medical pain release that you talked about, is that what people commonly refer to as that epidural shot?
Epidural is one ways that you can receive pain relief in labor. There's other things like nitrous gas that's commonly used in hospital facilities and even some birth centers, and actually is counterindicated during the COVID outbreak. There's also narcotic pain relief that you can get during labor. So just basically that whole toolbox of medical pain relief that typically home birth midwives or even at a birth center, they're not going to, you're not going to have access to.
But having a labor and birthing a child without those kinds of tools in your toolbox is something that people have been doing for ages. And so would you say that that's still something that an anticipating pregnant person could look as an alternative to at this point?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to attempt to go through labor without having any kind of medical interventions. And I think that nowadays, because of shows like Call the Midwife and various documentaries that have been around, that a good majority of people are that's part of their goal for delivering their babies. So if you're low risk and if you're not going into it saying, I don't want to feel anything, give me all the drugs, then home is actually a very great, safe option. There's not a ton of difference. There's almost no difference between what either a freestanding or a hospital-based birth center is able to provide by way of medical intervention for, health and safety, and what a home birth midwife will bring to your home. So if you were already kind of deciding between home birth and a birth center, well, at home, it just kind of takes the travel out of it.
Well, and I think a lot of people are looking to minimize their travel at this point right now. Sometimes when you talk about things like home births or births without any medical intervention, it kind of gives very science-based families and pregnant individuals a little bit of pause. How do those folks that are, you know, very into modern medicine and science and medical interventions work with doulas? Or is this just kind of a hippie thing?
I think that's kind of the perception, is that it's all, you know, burning sage and dancing around in the woods, right? But it's from a very medical fact-based, evidence-based perspective, the research has just shown over and over again that for low-risk pregnancies, care by a midwife and care out of hospital has better medical health outcomes than people who have no other reason to be in the hospital, except that that's culturally where we tend to give birth. So especially now with the COVID-19 outbreak, it's the risk of infection of any kind, you know, has kind of skyrocketed. So it kind of is really impactful on the way people are looking at their deliveries. And I do want to just say that overall, where you feel safest is the best place to give birth, whether that be in a hospital or at home or in a birth center. But the very real impact that this outbreak has caused is just kind of having people reevaluate where they feel safest.
Well, there's always so much information that pregnant families are really kind of bombarded with. And so it's really nice to hear those kinds of things that are grounded in science and facts. Let's shift a little bit. You're also an artist, as much as helping humans is a form of art, and helping families and laboring people and children. Tell us a little bit more about your visual arts.
Yeah, so my visual art is, I've been an artist for my whole life, just various forms of 2D painting and drawing. The last year I was vice president of the Tacoma Artist Collective and recently took a step back for personal reasons, but still have a great connection with them. My current artwork has to do with birth and birth visibility. So I take photos of people's births, whether it be a professional photographer or that one shot that you got captured on your flip phone because it was the only thing that was available at the time, and listen to people's stories about what they were experiencing at that time and translate those into watercolors that have, you know, they're not directly lifelike, but have kind of heightened colors and impressions of them. So that's kind of what I do in the background. Like you said, I've got four kids, so my birth work is at the forefront of my attention, but always looking for more stories and to normalize the different types of births that are out there.
If you feel comfortable and if you think that your clients would feel comfortable, obviously protecting, or your art subjects, protecting their privacy, are there any stories that you've kind of come across and worked with in the last year or so that really really come to mind as something poignant or interesting or something new to you?
I would say hard thinking of specific stories without thinking of the individual. And I try, you know, I try, doulas, like I said, we're non-medical, so we're not like bound by HIPAA or anything, but I try really hard to respect privacies. I'd say in general that the births that have impacted me most are when I get to come across individuals or families who either had never heard of what a doula was or just didn't expect that birth was going to be something that that was positive. It was more just a means, you know, you have to go through the birth to get the baby and the baby's the prize, right? to be able to be there for them in a way that makes the experience of giving birth really impactful so that they carry that through to the way that they parent. I mean, not everybody experiences that, right? But for the families who didn't expect it to be that, who are expecting that birth is just going to be this trauma that they have to get through in order to have a baby, to be there breath by breath with them and have that ease the way that they delivered so that it wasn't a traumatic event. It was actually an empowering experience. It's why I do what I do.
Antonio, you're giving me goosebumps and chills right now just talking about that. You know, you, as we've mentioned, are a parent to four children. That must be a tremendous experience right now. But what sorts of things are you enjoying during this time where we're asked to stay home and stay healthy?
Yeah, we're a very unstructured family. I don't work on a schedule, so my family doesn't always operate on a schedule. So I have a lot of respect for the people who've got their homeschool agenda ready to go and have all their various learning websites vetted and being used. We are not that. I'm enjoying my family's presence. We are playing a lot of games together. Usually my kids are, we watch like shows and movies all of the time on big screens, but we don't have any like small devices for them. With the social distancing, I've been letting them kind of be on my phone so that they can do Messenger Kids with their friends. And for my social children, that's been really nice to just see the faces of their friends over Messenger. And they really appreciate that.
So I heard that there's this sing-along event tonight happening in Tacoma at 6:30 p.m.
Yay.
It just came across sort of my Facebook. What's that all about?
That is just another outlet for people to connect to one another without being physically in each other's presence. So, I'm really excited about it. I think the song is going to be Lean On Me, which I think is very appropriate. And the idea is you just stand out on your porch and start belting and see either your voice is going to be lifting up somebody who is near you, or maybe you get to hear somebody else singing along with you and know that you're not alone. So I'm really looking forward to participating in that.
So if you are in Tacoma, you can step outside to your porches or open your windows or your front doors at 6:30 p.m. today on Friday, March 27th, and join in or uplift other people in your neighborhood by singing Avett Brothers Lean On Me, I think is the overall goal of that. Antonia, is there any message that you'd like our listeners on KTQA to hear from you that we haven't really covered today?
Yeah, I would just say that I know that all of this is really uncertain ground that we haven't walked before, but we're all walking through it together, and we're going to be okay. It's hard to say that in light of the hardships that everybody is experiencing, but I think at the other side of it, the way that Tacoma has handled it and really rallied together is going to be something that we all remember with positivity.
Beautiful words from Antonia Hernandez. She is a Tacoma-based artist, doula, and parent to four children, all under the age of 8. Thank you so much for joining me today on KTQA Daily Briefing.
Thank you so much.
If you need information from the city of Tacoma, dial 311 on your phone to be connected to their non-emergency line. Dialing 211 will bring you to statewide community resources. You can email us at daily@ktqa.org and give us a call or text us at 253-330-8821. That's 253-330-8821. See you tomorrow.
KTQA LP 95.3, Tacoma.